By the help of the Lord, this morning we're going to talk about, there's many aspects to God's grace. Yes. But by the help of the Lord, we're going to talk about three of them. Yes. So the title this morning of the message is Threefold Grace. Amen. And at the beginning with that song, it talks about there in that first verse, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation. Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation. It's the grace of God that allows you and I to bow at an altar of prayer and receive salvation. And the grace of God brings salvation. And then not only does it bring salvation, it teaches righteousness. Amen. See, it does something special for us. And it addresses, it is all sufficient. And it addresses our deepest need. The deepest need that each and every one of us had was we needed salvation. And that's what we had. And the grace of God is what made it possible for us to be able to lay down that burden of sin and to get it released off of our back and to be able to be set free. It's because of the grace of God. The grace of God made it possible that we could say no to sin. That we can say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't like the way my life is going. I don't like what the enemy is doing to me. I want to be free from that. The grace of God is what brought that to us. It allowed us to satisfy the deepest need within us. There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. So it's something that we all needed, and God knew all about it. He knows about all every one of us. When we came to an altar of prayer and we laid ourselves down, he already knew what was going on in our lives. He already knew what we needed help with, what deliverance we needed, and he knew it didn't matter. He already knew. And he said, and it was us coming down at an altar of prayer and how he is able to come in and help us out. And it's because of the grace of God. He's the all-knowing, and he has complete knowledge and understanding. And it says, if we, his promise, plead. Well, what was the promise? So how, for each and every one, the grace of God that brings salvation starts with the verse in 1 John. It says, if we, his promise, plead. So what's the promise? 1 John, the first chapter, and the 9th verse. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's the promise now. He said, if the songwriter said, if we his promise plead, I have something for you, but you got to plead the promise. So here's the promise. He said, if we confess our sin, he didn't say, well, if you have these great big multitude, if you have so many, he didn't want no qualifications, was it? It said, if we confess our sins, the promise is he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what that takes from us, it takes a little bit of humility, doesn't it? It takes a little bit of acknowledgement to recognize I'm in a lost condition. I'm undone before God. I need some help, and I have to humble myself and acknowledge I can't do this by myself. I need some help. So we can come with humility and acknowledge. And then what do we have to do? We have to accept his gift. Yes. Right? He said, what's that? The verse, it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I have to do all these things, and I have to say, Lord, I believe. I believe that your son died for me, and I accept that gift. And I acknowledge it before you, and I believe in the sacrifice of your son. So that first fold is the grace that comes from God. That grace that comes from God that brings salvation. Grace, it's from God. Struggling with spelling this morning. So the first folk still. So the first fold is from God. Yes. It's grace from God that he brought to mankind for salvation. Salvation that he's able to not only to save us. That's the first part. He saves us. He cleans us up. And then he's able to keep us. He's able to keep us now. That's that. That's from God. That grace is from God. A grace to save us and grace to keep us. All that is from God this morning. It's the grace from God to mankind to save and can keep us and recognize it that without it, we could not. We couldn't even be saved. If it wasn't for God's grace, there would be no hope for us. We would be just completely lost without hope. And it's only possible because of the grace from God. And you know what? If those that when they leave this world, if they end up in that condition, it's not going to be because of what God didn't do. It's going to be, it'll be our own doing. If I don't have that grace, if I don't receive that grace from God, and when I leave here, if my relationship with him is not what he wants it to be, if I don't know him personally, if I haven't said, Lord, I accept your grace, that's going to be on us. Amen. But he made it, the point is this morning, he made it possible. He made it possible for each and every one of us. And then when he made it possible to save us, then he also made it possible to keep us. To keep us. The portion of that verse, it says, in the third verse, it says, within the heart. Within the heart. His grace abounding, right, will give us power to reign. Through Jesus, when the foe surrounding, the victory we shall gain. So now that I, Lord, that wondrous grace that comes from God, not only to save me, but to keep me. When it gets working within my heart, then God can do, he can do work now. He can do work within me. And it's able to, he gives us power to reign and enables us to be able to live victorious lives. He gives us victory after victory. It says the Lion of Judah, he's broken every chain and he gives us the victory again and again. So we have that. And then it says here, it says, our Father grace and glory giveth in blessings manifold. From him before him liveth, no good will he withhold. So not only to give us victory, again and again he bestows blessings upon us when we live our lives in a way that's pleasing and honoring to him. You know, where did that come from? Well, there's a scripture for that too. Brother Dave was talking about being in Psalms. This is another one in Psalm. Let's go to Psalm, the 84th chapter and the 11th verse. Talking about the grace of God, the grace from God that brings salvation to save us and then to keep us. Psalm 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I take several a note of this verse. It says he's our sun and our shield. It says he will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold. Right? No good thing will he withhold, but he put a qualifier on it, didn't he? But you got to walk uprightly now. See, I need to I got to do right. I got to live right. And that means it's not just in what I say. It's what I do. And it's my actions. It's my in word and in deed and in action. It's having a desire to follow him and honor him in everything that I say and that I do. And you know, the wonderful thing it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now recognize that his utmost concern is for our never dying soul. So that first, it's talking about spiritual things. But you know, the wonderful thing is God blesses us naturally as well. It's part of the benefits of living for him. You know, that's just the double blessing in it. Right? His utmost concern is the spiritual, but he blesses us naturally as well. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if I desire something from the Lord, as long as it's not going to be a hindrance to me, then if he sees fit to allow that, he may. And you know what? There might be some things that I desire that he says, no. Why? It's not good for me. He said, these are some of the promises that we have in his word. He said, no good thing, the writer said, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So now when we talk about, so this grace from God, the first fold of it is exactly that, to save us and to keep us. You know, the biblical definition of that word grace is divine, unmerited favor. Amen. It's the ability to the sinner, for the availability of the sinner for salvation and the redeemed for victorious living. Amen. So that's from Thompson's definition of it. But the salvation from sin and for the redeemed to be able to live a victorious life. We've had a couple lessons. We've been talking about teachers and students. So when we think about that, we've making parallels of those relationships. You know, can you imagine a good teacher that has a student that wants to learn? A good teacher is going to equip that student with everything that they need. If that student comes and says, I don't understand what you're teaching, that a good teacher is going to sit down with that student and they're going to, let me show you. Let me help you out. And even if they come back maybe a second or a third time, a good teacher that has a concern for all of the students in their class, they're going to put forth that effort to be able to and try to help and explain. That's what part of being a teacher is, yes. Right? You have an understanding of what you're teaching. And now I have to, as a teacher, I have to be able to explain it in a way that you understand it. And a good teacher, it's not just one explanation because everybody thinks differently, right? I can explain it this way and maybe I got 10 students over here. They completely understand. But then there's another 20 on the other side that they still looking at you like, I don't understand. So what does a good teacher do? All right. How can I explain this so that the other 20 students in the class will understand? So then they think about it and they break it down. And then those next, maybe there's 10 more. Oh, I got it now. I understand. And then maybe there's, I'm using 30 as an example. Maybe there's another 10 that say, okay, you explained it that way and they got it. And then you explained it a different way and those got it. But then we still don't understand. So what is that teacher? All right. Let me think about this a little bit more. And then they break it down in a way and then they get the last remainder of their class. Oh, we got it now. Isn't that wonderful? And now we think about relationships. We think about parents and children. Isn't it not a similar thing? What are we as parents, what are we try to teach our children, help them to understand, and we do the same thing. All of our children are not the same. We explain something to the one, and they under some of them, maybe they minimal explanation, and they got it. And then another one, we have to break it down in a different way, and help, it's just different. But do we, as parents, we put forth all that effort, don't we? Where we have an invested interest in our children, and I'm going to do everything that I can because I want them to understand what I'm trying to teach them. So when we think about those relationships in a natural sense, how much more? The God that gives grace, the God that made it possible for you and I to receive salvation, and he wants us to keep it. He's not willing that any should perish, right? So how much effort do you think he's going to take for each and every one of his creation? Even to a greater extent, to a teacher, to a parent, God's going to do everything possible for you and I to understand what his desire is for each and every one of us. There's another verse in Psalm, the 145th chapter and the 8th verse.
The Lord is gracious.
The Lord is gracious.
And full of compassion.
He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger.
And of great mercy.
The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Does that sound like someone that has a care and a concern for each and every one of us? But in all of that, I have to present a desire. If I want that kind of care and concern for him, I have to present a desire. I want to please you, Lord. And in my desire to please you, then he's going to be gracious to me. He's going to extend compassion to me. He'll be slow to anger and of great mercy. The writer says that he is gracious to those that serve him. And full of compassion to those that need him. So when I come to God in acknowledgement of, I need some help, then he's going to look down in love, he's going to look down in pity, and he's going to look down in compassion and extend to you and I what we need. Thank the Lord. Now the second part of this grace is grace for and with our own self. Grace for ourselves. You know, when we think about it, if the great God of heaven extended grace to you and I, doesn't it make sense that I should extend a little bit of grace to myself? If God saw fit to give me grace, then I can extend grace to my own self. What does that mean? Maybe have you ever been in a situation where you did something that you shouldn't have done? Been there. What did you, beat yourself up? Did you say, oh, you're horrible. I can't believe, you know, maybe you dwelt on it for a little while. And I can't believe I did that. What am I going to do? I've been there.
Amen.
What do you do? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't, that was not my intention. And you keep on going. You don't just dwell on it and just pound yourself. The enemy will do that, won't he? He'll come in and, oh, see, if you were saved, you wouldn't have done that. See, you're losing out with God. See what happened? That's just the enemy trying to discourage us. You know, God's still working on each one of us, isn't he? Right? The point is, if I acknowledge it, I messed up. Have I ever said something to my wife, maybe that I wanted to take back? Yes. Done it. What are you going to do about it? Go to her and say, you know what, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm going to do better by the help and by the grace of God. Yes. And you know, that's a two-way street, right? No doubt that maybe times that she's had to say the same thing to me. Yes. Extend grace to recognize, you know what? I did something I shouldn't have done. Help me, Lord. I'm going to do better by your grace and strength. So, Lord, you was gracious to me so I can give myself a little grace. You know, I got to seek his face and then just continue going on. Right? Recognizing that the song said he's still working on me. Right? To make me what I ought to be. I know it only took him a week to make the moon and the stars. What does it say? It took him only a week to make the moon and the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. For all the how loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. So I recognize as I go through this life, I gave my heart to him. But I know I'm a work in progress. All of us are. As long as we have life and breath, there's going to be some ground for us to gain. So give yourself some grace. Amen. That's from God anyways. God gave it to us so we can give ourselves a little grace. And recognize, Lord, but the important thing is don't deny it. Recognize it and ask the Lord to help and then keep on going. That's the kind of grace we're talking about for yourself. That not in terms of making wanting to give up, but to recognize it, acknowledge it, and then keep on going by the help and by the grace of God. It's like this. You know, why do we have trials and tests? You know, in school they have quizzes, right? Quizzes usually happen before tests, right? Right? So you take the quiz and you got a C. Maybe you wanted to get an A. So what do? All right. Got some work to do, right? I got some work. All right. There's some things maybe I don't understand as well as I thought I did. Or whatever things I need to memorize. I have more that I need to memorize. So I got to put a little extra effort in. So what do? You put a little extra effort and you put a little extra work in. And then when the test comes, you can get an A. Yeah. Right? Yeah. What happens in life? We have different trials and tests that come our way, right? Little circumstances that happen as we go throughout the day. Maybe something comes along and a situation happens and we don't respond in the way that God would want us to. What are we going to do about it? We can hang our head down. Oh, I can't believe it. Or you can extend yourself some grace and, Lord, help me to do better. Yeah. And then when the next thing comes along, by the help and by the grace of God, you respond in the way that he desires you to. Yeah. And then you can keep on going. Yes, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And the 16th verse. The key is saying, recognizing again, God extended me grace. I can extend grace to myself, but I have to go to the one that can help me. Yes. Right? Amen. So we have a charge here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 16th verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace
that we may obtain mercy,
and find grace to help in the time of need. Yes. It says, let us therefore come boldly. Yes. Come boldly. Lord, I need some help. It's not about just but what does it mean to come boldly? Confidence.
You know, why do we come boldly? Because I recognize he can help me. Right? That's why I come boldly. I know I'm going to somebody that can help me in my specific situation and help me get to the place where he wants me to be. So I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And if I come boldly, then I can obtain mercy and find grace. And he will help in the time of need. So when I'm in need of help, I can come boldly to God and recognize that he's there to help me. Support us when the writer said he'll support us when necessary, as necessary. And, you know, so whatever it is, whenever and whatever. That's basically what it means. For what do I need? Doesn't matter what I need. I know I can go to the one that can give it to me. This is something I can't get from myself. But you know what? I can recognize God can help me. And if I come boldly, he'll provide what I need. He'll give the mercy. He'll give the grace. And then he'll provide the help that I need. In thinking about this, you ever tried to learn a new skill or try something new maybe that you never tried before? And maybe you make a couple of attempts and you just fall flat and it just doesn't work out. What do you do? Well, I guess I just can't do it then. I guess I'm not wired to be able to do it. I guess I'll give up. That's not what you do. You know, there's some professional athletes that make millions of dollars that fail more than they succeed. They keep on going, don't they? And they're doing it for money. And we're talking about something that is eternal. The eternal gain is priceless for us. So what am I got to keep on going. You know, think about it like this. If you don't quit on yourself, then God's not going to quit on you.
Amen.
If you don't quit on yourself, he's not going to quit on you. But you know what? You got to ask him for help. You got to ask him for help. I was observing a situation recently where someone was trying something that they hadn't done before. They were having some struggles. They were just ready to just give up. And my encouragement to them was, no, you can get it. You can get it. Just keep on trying. Just keep on, you know, go back. Maybe you have to relook at what you're trying to figure out. Just look at it again. But you can figure this out. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. So the second fold of this grace is give yourself some grace.
Yes.
So we have grace from God. We have grace for each and every one of our own selves. But then the third part of that, you know what it is grace for our fellow man.
Yes. Yes.
So grace for others. Philippians. Second chapter, third verse.
Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory.
Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory.
But in lowliness of mind,
let each esteem other
better than themselves.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know what that means? That means holding my brothers and my sisters in higher regard than I hold myself.
Right.
What it means is I'm not going to do anything that would cause any kind of bitterness or conflict between my somebody else. I'm not going to make myself appear better than somebody else, spiritually or otherwise, in any kind of way. Nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And esteem others better than myself. You ever been around situations, maybe in a work environment, where there's two different kind of people? There's credit takers and there's credit givers. Don't say anybody's name now. But I'm sure you all been in situations where something, a job is accomplished, and they're like, "Yeah, look what I did." And then you got the other folks that'll be like, "Oh, so-and-so did a great job, and this one and that one," and they'll deflect all that credit to other folks and not take any for themselves. You're talking about esteeming somebody else above yourself. That's giving grace to your fellow man. The writer said this. Said, never be opposed to each other. Never act from separate interests. You're all brethren and of one body. Do nothing as to promote your own reputation. An humbling view. Always have a humbling view of yourself. And this will lead you to prefer others than yourself. Why do you do this? The writer says, because you know your own secret defects, and charity will lend you to suppose that your brothers and your sisters are more holy and more devoted to God than you, and then they will think the same of you. Amen. Let nothing be done through strife or extend grace to my fellow man. Let's look at a verse in Peter. Deals with this a little bit more. 1 Peter 4:10.
As every man hath received the gift.
Even so minister the same.
One to another.
As good stewards.
Of the manifold grace of God.
So each of every one of us recognize that God gave grace to me. So if he gave grace to me, then I need to extend that same grace to my fellow man. So we're all, the writer says, every man hath received the gift. All of us have received this. We all have grace that comes from God that he extends to us, and he expects us to extend that, to minister the same one to another. And in doing that, then we're being good stewards. See, recognizing that I got something from God, and as me wanting to accept and receive that, being a good steward of that is extending that to my fellow man. And then as good stewards of the many, all of us are being good stewards of all the grace that God has extended to each and every one of us. So recognizing that I have areas of growth in my own life. And as I go in my journey along this pathway of life and my relationship with God, and as I endeavor to draw closer to him, I find grace for myself. Then I can extend that to my fellow man. And recognizing that he or she is in a similar position, My brother, like if I accept it for myself, how can I not then extend it to others? To my brothers and sisters in Christ or in Adam. Help me, Lord. You know, it's easier to extend grace to those that you're in the fight together. Right? Would you it's easier. Oh, that's my brother and sister in the Lord. I can extend grace. I know they didn't speak to me last Sunday. They didn't mean it, but I'll extend grace to them. But now when we talk about somebody, we're still brothers and sisters. Even those of us, those that don't claim the name of Christ, we're still brothers and sisters in Adam. Amen. We're all in this together now. So help me, Lord, that I extend grace to them as well. I want to be what the writer said, talked about being a good steward. I want to be a good steward of the grace that God gave me. Then I got to extend it to others. Oh, this next verse, James, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. I believe this, brother, one of Brother Henry's favorite verses. Because it's true.
Right.
It's true. James 4 and 6, what does it say?
But he giveth more grace.
He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith,
God resisteth the proud,
but giveth grace unto the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So he giveth more grace. But he resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Yeah. So in recognizing that, you know what? I have to stay humble before the Lord. And when I recognize that as we go through this life, our different ones may not have the same clarity of understanding that I have. And I have to extend grace to them and know that, you know what? We're all different individuals. We have different personalities and different makeups. And our understanding may not be the same, but the same recognizing me and what God has provided for me, I have to extend that to my fellow man. So if I, in my, when I come to God with a humble heart and recognize, you know what, Lord, everything is all from you anyways. It's all from you. Then God extends more grace to me. And then the more grace that he extends to me, then I extend that carries on and it goes to my fellow man. We don't play, you know, sometimes, you know, people might say, well, if I was in that situation, this is what I would have done. But you're not. Extend grace. Extend grace. You know, the best thing that we can do rather than analyze, I'm going to say analyze instead of criticize, what somebody else does in the situations that they're in, you know, the best thing that we can do is pray for them. Because you know what? We could say, well, if I was in this situation, I would have, you don't know what you would have done if you was in that situation. So what you would want is you would want somebody to extend grace to you and pray for you. So we can do that for our brothers and our sisters in Christ and in Adam. And whatever the things that they're going on, and just pray for them. Lord, you know all about it, what they need. Help them out, Lord. Because I know, Lord, if I was in that situation, I certainly would want somebody praying for me. You know, a lot of times the folks that need the most prayer may not realize it. Or they're not praying themselves. So they need, look, help us, Lord, to do our part. You know, it's important for those that need it to pray, but if they don't, help us to do our part until they get to that place where they can pray or they will pray, that we can hold them up until they get there. We don't have to look down on them and see you in this situation because you did it to your own self. How is that going to help?
Amen.
Extend grace.
Yes.
Lord, help them out. You know all about it. Give them what they need. If I can be a help and encouragement to them, help me, Lord, to do it.
Amen.
We're talking about grace. And just to make a clarification, I'm not talking about having grace for sin.
Amen.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody with an honest heart endeavoring in terms of, let me say it this way. With our brothers and sisters in Adam, recognizing that they're following, the enemy is just taking charge, right, over their lives. So it's the enemy working in them that's causing them maybe to do the things that they do. We can still extend grace to them as an individual, but we can stand against the enemy, right? We stand against the enemy, but we extend grace to them as an individual, recognizing we was all there. Before we received salvation, we were all in a place where the enemy was taking advantage of us and we didn't realize it. But we need, and somebody extended grace to us. So let's extend grace to them as well. There's a song. It says, "Grace is keeping me." It says, "Since through grace my soul has been redeemed and the light I see,
amen,
greater far than I have ever dreamed, grace is keeping me. Grace is keeping me. Oh, glory, grace is keeping me." That's why I'm shouting, singing as I onward go, "Grace is keeping me." I thank the Lord this morning for the grace of God, the grace that God can help us to have for our own selves, and the grace that we can have for one another. And you know, the wonderful thing is, as we go through this life, if there's a lack in any of that, maybe you haven't taken full advantage of the grace of God. There's opportunity to take advantage of that. Right? And maybe we haven't taken full advantage of the grace that God extends to us, that we should extend to ourselves. Maybe you've gone through some struggles and the enemies have come along and say, "See, you can't do it. There's some more grace. God has more grace that we can have for our own selves to be able to fend off the enemy when he comes with his accusations against us." And maybe you're dealing with somebody where you just need a little bit more grace. You know the wonderful thing, God has it for us. You know what? God has endless grace if we follow what he has given us in his word. If we follow what he's given us, he has all the grace for each and every one of us that we need. I desire your prayers this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention. It's my desire to take full advantage of the threefold grace that God has given to each and every one of us. Appreciate your time and your attention this morning.